Welcome back for another episode of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, we talk to
Richard Neuheis, who is the owner and operator of Dugast Tires.
Sat down with Richard while I was in Lenzerheide, Switzerland, covering the last round of the mountain bike cross country World Cup event for Truck Factory Racing. You guys should check out what I've been doing for them. It's called Trailside Dailies. It's available on Trek Factory Racing YouTube channel. You can just search for Trek Factory Racing or Trailside Dailies and it should come up. It's been a fun summer of traveling around the world and getting embedded in and immersed in the top level cross country World Cup mountain biking scene. Just amazing athletes doing some really cool stuff, and we try to capture that in these Trailside Dailies. So go and check those out. And what this has done is it's afforded me the opportunity to talk to people like Richard. It was a pretty surreal interview. I was able to hang out in Nino Scherter's tent, got a nice espresso while we were sitting there doing our interview from Nino's people in the Scott Odlow tent. So thank you to those folks for hosting us and making this possible. Talking to Richard, really lots of great information in this interview. I will say that it is not the quietest environment. So he starts out a little soft, but throughout the interview, I think he gets stronger and you can hear it more. And it's really worth sticking with because there's a lot of great information there. It's only like 25 minutes long, so not too much of your time taken up, but I think worth your while from his thoughts on the cyclocross scene and, you know, what certain riders are doing to the evolution of the Dugast tires to what he thinks the best way to attach your tire to your rim is. So a lot of good information there. So stick with that interview. Also, right after I finish talking to you here, I'm going to tag on a little bit of a conversation I had with Scott Herman. Scott is a Midwest guy, Ohio guy, does a lot of race announcing, both on the road and also cyclocross in Ohio, OVCX area. He's also one of the Cross Vegas announcers. Scott had this idea. He came to me and wanted to interview me and talk about maybe some of the stuff that doesn't come out on this show. I was a little reluctant to do that. That's not really what the intent of Crosshairs Radio is, other than me getting to sort of chat with you right now in these intros, and then also, you know, anything that I may interject into a conversation in the course of just me interviewing somebody else, that's great. But just to have the sort of the spotlight turned around was nothing that I really intended to do, but he wanted to do that. I agreed, mainly so that we could get it up as bonus content for Wide Angle Podium. So Scott interviewing me is going to be a bonus episode. The way that you can listen to that, if that's something that interests you, is to become a member at wideanglepodium.com. Become a member, you get access to that bonus material. I think that the Slow Ride Podcast also has some bonus episodes up there as well. So that's the kind of stuff. Those are the perks that you get by becoming a member. So wideanglepodium.com. Become a member. You only have to give a dollar or two, or even more if you want to. You can pick the shows that you want to support, and it's something that, you know, we say it every week. It helps us do what we want to do. So that's going to be up soon. Bonus episode. Scott talking to me. Me talking sort of like what I'm doing right now. Way too much. We also have a sponsor for this episode. Michelin. Michelin is sponsoring the Crosshairs Radio for this episode. Michelin Bicycle USA and their new line of power tires. They offer four models to cover the spectrum of road riding. You know, they wanted to do this, even though this is a cyclocross program. I know a lot of you, like I do, follow all disciplines of cycling. The Tour de France is going on right now. Michelin is really focused on their road tires. That's what they're looking to hype, and that's why they wanted to sponsor our show. They're also sponsoring the Slow Ride podcast, some of the other Wide Angle Podium Network shows. But what they have to offer, this Power Protection Plus, that's the latest tire in the Power line, offers excellent rolling resistance, better sidewall protection, and less wear. Power Protection Plus is ideal for riding on any road surface, and it's only available in the U.S. So stop in your local bike shop today, ask about Michelin bicycle tire and tubes. If they don't have it, ask them to get in touch with their distributor and order it. Check out Michelin Tires on Facebook by searching for Michelin. Also on Twitter at Michelin Bike USA. Instagram, Michelin USA. And also on YouTube, search for Michelin Bike. And now, let's go talk to Scott Herman, and then we'll talk to Richard after that. Okay. All right, so we're going to start out and talk just for a second with Scott Herman. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
Good. So, Scott, we actually spent some time together. You had this idea that I was reluctant to do at first, where you were going to interview me.
Yeah, you know, it's turn the microphone around, right?
Yeah, so we ended up doing that and made it into a Wide Angle Podium bonus content. So if you're listening to this episode and you want to become a subscriber, go to wideanglepodium.com, become a subscriber, then you will have access, for better or for worse, to about an hour or 20 minutes of me talking about me.
Who you are.
I don't know if that's a plug for this podcast network or not. Maybe it is, but that's going to be available for listening. But what I want to ask right now, because, you know, Scott, I think some people know you, you know, from... You've done a couple times on They Don't Do That in Europe and just Cyclocross Today. Right. You're also an announcer, a race announcer. You also do some race announcing at Cross Vegas. But other than that, you know, give us a little background on Scott Herman. I'm turning the tables.
Wait a minute. You didn't say I was going to talk about me. This is the worst thing ever.
Yeah, but this isn't the bonus content part. This is the public part. So we have to set this up and, like, who's this guy talking to Bill?
Yeah. So Scott Herman, I'm based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. If you're in the Midwest, you've probably heard me on a microphone. I wouldn't say I'm a professional announcer. I'm a part-time announcer. How's that? But announce a lot of criteriums in the summer in the Midwest, announce a lot of cyclocross races, particularly in the OVCX series, if you're familiar with that, and sort of travel around in the fall while racing my cyclocross bike, do some announcing, and announce the Pan Am Champs for the past couple of years with David Toll. And at that one of those, I met Brooke Watts and Kristen Diamond, and they invited me out to announce Cross Vegas last year. So I had the quite distinct honor, I will say, that's a personal feeling, of announcing that with Larry Longo last year out in the desert. And I'll be back there this year announcing in September again for the second stop there of the World Cup. First stop of the year, but second time in Vegas.
What was the most significant difference between announcing your OVCX, or sort of your local series, yeah, versus announcing Cross Vegas?
You know, funny, I would say to you, not that different. You know why I'll say that is because I do enough announcing, cyclocross, stuff like that. The action is much the same. The only difference was the name. So I did spend a lot of time, and I will credit you and Gavin Haley, actually, as well, for spending a lot of time listening to and reviewing correct pronunciation of names. That's number one. Number two, because I am an avid cyclocross fanatic, and I watch as many cyclocross races on Sports and things like that, whatever we used to be able to get our hands on, I've watched these guys race and girls race for years. It was just calling it in live time. So it wasn't actually that much different. It was a little intimidating with the names, but I've heard the names pronounced, you know, in their native language many, many times. And I practiced them a lot. And we did a lot of prep work to make sure that we got them as right as possible. I mean, you can do everything you want, Bill, as much as you want to try and pronounce Wout Van Aert correctly. And it's still not going to sound like a native tongue. But we're close. But that's the biggest difference, I'd say. A lot of time spent with names.
That was, you know, when I had him do a little promo, and when he came out with Lot Van Aert, it almost sounded like art. And I was like, all right, so we're not even getting close.
But you got to do it justice, right?
Yeah. I have a whole screed on pronunciation of names. I still get crap over mispronouncing names, you know, and then I go to Europe and people are just, they just call me whatever the heck that comes out of their mouth, and I'm okay with it. But
that's right.
Americans seem to be really hung up on.
Yeah.
I'm almost like, pronounce it like you're an American.
Like you're an American. And that'll never work.
I know.
But yeah, you know, so, as the announcer, you want to do it justice. So there's a lot of work up to make sure we get all those things right, make sure you know the history of everybody and where they've been and what they've done that year. So it was a lot more work than I would do for an average race.
Sure. Yeah. So you also, when you're announcing locally, you all do this with your wife some too, right?
I do, yeah. Julie Herman. She it's funny because I just asked her the other day. I said, "Do you remember the first race you announced?" And she wasn't sure. She's kind of like me, where I'm like, I don't know. It had to be during this year or era or something like that. But like me, she's a talker, and like me, she's a fanatic when it comes to cyclocross. And like me, she is an active Category 2 racer. So we get it. We understand it. We like to talk about it. We love to watch it. And so it just comes very naturally.
And it
transfers over to other things.
Did you grow up racing?
I grew up racing BMX. I was a BMX kid back when Buff and RL were the cool things on the scene, right?
Yeah.
My first pair of Vans. I think I got my first pair of Vans checkered shoes when I was 7.
Oh, that's great. I just got another pair this year.
I did too. I just bought a pair of black and white check Vans.
I got the black and the gray, so it seems like it's a little more subtle.
We got to make a pack now. You got to bring them to Vegas.
Oh,
we're gonna wear them. I'll wear mine if you wear yours.
I'll do that. Yeah.
All right.
With the cowboy hat.
That's right. That'll look good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So grew up in the BMX scene. Did triathlons and stuff for a while. Then back into road racing. Heavy into road racing and. Got to a point in my life where I was getting to the age where I got tired of sleeping with bandages on my elbows and knees. Found cyclocross. Cyclocross is very, very transferable from BMX, obviously, and fell in love with it right away. 2007-ish, I'd say, 2008.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you were, are you in your 40s?
My racing age is 45, but I'm really 43, so go figure.
Yeah. No, because I was just looking at it, and I think I've talked about this before, but it's just how the entry into cycling has changed, and I sort of see myself as one of, sort of on that edge of this new wave of people who get into cycling through cyclocross, because it's such an easy entry point, and then, you know, from there, I raced on the road, I raced mountain bikes, I did all this other stuff, but cyclocross was the entry point. And I think that's become a lot more of where people get into it. And a lot of people when they're older, like it's no longer just juniors working their way up. You get people in their 30s and 40s who are starting the sport.
I agree. And even with the juniors, Bill, I'll go back 15 years and say very quickly, like I would run these kids on bikes programs for the team I raced for, Team Dayton. Obviously out of Dayton, Ohio, I would run them and they were crit-based kids on bikes programs. And if we got six kids, it was amazing. Fast forward to today, same guy's been running us since I Doug DeBrosi. He's been running this Lionhearts Junior program for years and years and years. So he switches the program from road-based to cyclocross-based, I'm going to say 5 to 8 years ago. And he went from having, same thing, 4, 5, 6 kids to, you go up there on a Friday night, there will be 60 to 80 kids. Half or more of them are on cyclocross specific bikes to the point where we call 24-inch redline bikes, we call those unicorns in Cincinnati because you can't find them. You're not going to get them because there's so many people that want them. But my point in bringing that up, and it was something that that I think you mentioned a little bit in your podcast before, is I cannot wait to see what happens in 10 years. And I hope the best for cyclocross, because there's this wave of kids in my local reference that, you know, this guy, Spencer Petroff, and he's 16 years old. Sure. He's my local reference where I said, he is just the tip of that big iceberg of the explosion of cyclocross in the last 5 years or so. And he's just the tip of it. And there's this, and it, I'm sure it's national, there's this gigantic iceberg behind that where, can you imagine what some of these racers are going to be like when they started racing cyclocross at 6 years old, what they're going to be like when they're 21?
Yeah, no, it's going to be incredible. And it's,
can't wait to see this.
Yeah. It's even, you know, you look at a guy like Joe Dombrowski, who's sort of our, you know, local legend, who started on a mountain bike. And then I think his first real competitive racing was in cyclocross. And he did that for a couple of years. I think he went to, you know, a couple road races. Absolutely. And they were like, you're not a cyclocross racer. You need to be climbing up mountains.
You said on the last podcast, a little bit where I thought you were going to go with that before, when you were talking to Ella Noble, you said it, and it's what we all fear is, oh no, the road's calling,
I know.
That's your point. The entry point was cyclocross, so the next step could be road or something. It's not like they're coming from road into cyclocross. It's the other way around.
Yeah, it seems like the script is flipped on where people get in, or even, you know, what the jumping off point is.
So. It's so funny listening to that podcast. I was right there with you when the question came up. I thought, oh no. And you said literally, oh no.
You know, what I liked about her answer too, she wasn't shying away from it. Which is, you know, the opportunity is there.
But you got to pay the bills.
Yeah, it was the same thing talking to Jens Dekker. And I loved his answer when I was like, so, you know, you're racing cyclocross now and you're a world champion, are you gonna stick with it, or do you think the road will be, you know, calling you soon? And his response was, I'm only 17.
Let's not put me in a box.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, point taken.
That's great.
So yeah, all right, Scott, well that was basically I'd love for you to come back and let's talk more. I love doing that.
Anytime. Yeah. Anytime. And to your point with the wide angle podium stuff that we did, if people want to tune into that or grab into that, you're going to hear a little bit about what Bill eats for breakfast, where he's from, what does he do for a living, right? And then the bonus stuff on the back where you're going to get to hear with people like Tim Johnson, Brooke Watts, Katie Compton, et cetera, asked him some personal questions as well, right?
Yeah, that was, you can watch me stumble through, you can listen to me stumble through that. And
you did good. You did good.
Thanks, Scott.
They were tough questions.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing that. And once again, if you all tune in to wideanglepodium.com, become a subscriber, you can grab that bonus content and listen to Scott and I talk for a little over an hour. And I think that's about it. Thanks for tuning in, and great talking to you, Scott.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, now you all know about the bonus content. Let's get to the real content for this episode. Once again, we are talking to Richard Neuhaus from Dugas Tires. Let's go there now.
Well, I'm the owner of a small company that is called Dugas, which are producing roughly 80% of the cyclocross tires of the what I call World Cup level riders, if it's juniors or under 23 or elites. Basically in every area I have a very large coverage of tires, and this is mainly due to the effect of working very closely with some crazy riders. And that basically made it the success it is. I did buy the company in 2002 from André Dugas. It was a little bit crazy. The reason is I had never the idea to buy the company.
What was your background before that? How did you get into this to get to a point where you were buying the company from Andre?
Well, I mean, I started at my very young age of 13 years working in a bike shop. At my 18th, I was already pro mechanic in terms of doing Giro d'Italia and all this kind of stuff with TVM. And then I moved on and I stayed basically in the bicycle industry as a mechanic. And due to the contact of bicycle mechanic, you know what is good for your riders and you want to do the best for your riders. And due to that, I had a close relationship with Dugast. Andre was quite special. Why he was quite special, he never wanted to ship products over to somebody when he could get lost. He came to the race and then he dropped the products onto the plate and people have to pay cash. If he didn't have the money, then he said from, yeah, we'll see you together somewhere next month. So he was kind of person that was really keeping things small. And
because he didn't, that was always no sponsorships, nothing. Everybody was had to buy their tires.
It's still there, that way. Yeah. I mean, but what we do is we basically do things that other people don't do. And
so I interrupted you. So how did you get from being a mechanic, having a relationship with Andre, to now having the company?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I started the relationship with the riders, and then I moved on to basically every second week I was by Andre to pick up some stuff and to drop some stuff. And we moved on from there. And then at a certain moment, Andre was getting excited about my ways of changes. And then he said from, yeah, Richard, I'm at the age where it's time to sell the company. He was already 66 at that moment. And he said from, you have to buy my company. And I said, you have to buy my company. I think Andre works a different way. I said, you like me to buy your company, the reason you want to stay in the industry as it is. And he said, yeah, that's probably the way I want it. And I said, okay, let's see what I can do. And then we moved on from there.
So how big of an operation it is? I mean, are you overseeing every tire that comes out of that place?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, we're two people in the office. Yeah. We're in total with 14 people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you control a lot of things, but you can't control everything.
So when you end up buying the company, you're starting, are you mainly doing road? How does cyclocross?
No, I mean,
everything.
Andre was basically a third track, third road, third cyclocross. When I moved into that thing, I did see that cyclocross had a much larger opportunity for the gas than road or track. The reason is road or track, you have a lot of sponsoring deals going on. And due to that, it's more difficult to get into. With cyclocross, you have much bigger need for perfect tire than on a wooden track on the road. The reason is if the tire is a little bit more comfortable or a little bit less comfortable, doesn't hurt you as hard as in cyclocross. So due to that, I developed my new threads, and this is basically coming out of the head of one side where we are right now, Thomas Friesknecht, one side Richard Rundau, and the other side out of Sven Nys. And there basically came inputs from, yeah, but Richard, we're writing out this thread, but it should be a little bit larger, the knob should be a little bit more out, it should be a little bit different, the compound should be softer, And all these things I was be able to implement into the product. And due to that, I was implementing all these things into the product. Basically, the thing exploded. The reason why it exploded is today we're basically talking about 15,000 tires a year, and when we were talking about the moment when I bought the company, it was between 1,500 and 2,000 pieces, so different world.
So what, cyclocross specifically, what different treads, what different tires did you introduce since you've come on?
Well, we,
or even your involvement in the company?
Well, I mean, all the threats that are today are in the cyclocross area.
So like the Typhoon.
The Typhoon, the Grifo, the PP Swallow, PP Swallow. It's all stuff that I did. And this is all stuff working closely with the riders, and we moved on from there.
So take something, for instance, like the Typhoon. How many iterations does that go through? Like when you're test, how does that work when you're testing that? Are you giving it to riders to try out different treads to hone in on what you're looking for? Or?
No, we first talk to riders and say, okay, what needs to be changed? The Typhoon is basically old Clément Griffo.
Mm-hmm.
But the Clément Griffo tread was created for 28-30 mil. Then people are trying to peel the thread off and glue it onto a 34. But you can understand a thread that is created for 28 section is a thread on a 34, but not the optimal way. So things had to be positioned different and all these things. So, and what happened is that basically a lot of input there from Grunda and Nijs on from Richard, I think it needs to be here or there. The two lines on the Grifo thread had to be there, and I call it radius control. And what the thing was, people said from the average, it's studs are right now at a perfect place, but we feel when one stud is gone, we feel the next stud coming up. So the thing, space has to come closer. I said, well, if the space has to come closer, we need to have a cutted line where you control the grip. And all these things together, we created a new way of tires, new situation. And basically, from there on, we really moved into new situation where things are really moving ahead.
So what, working with these riders, anything sort of stand out, I guess, story-wise, where your involvement really improved them, or just something quirky that you know, working with like Sven or someone like that? Or
Two things. I mean, for example, the Rhino. First, we were peeling off the Michelin Mud. Michelin Mud peeling off, changed them into a tubular, was basically an hour. This is doable for 50-60 pieces a year, not an issue. But it was getting into 350 pieces a year, where you say, well, I mean, this is basically 2 months, one person, day and night, peeling off things into a different story. Well, I mean, there you get to the point that you say, stop. And there we said, okay, we need to create something new. Then I said to the boy from what do we need? Yeah, but we need a good rolling tire, but we need to have mud clearance, we need to have this. And then I started to draw and came back with the things, and I came back there with Grunendal, Nijs, and Wellens. And I said from what do we do? And probably just a little bit more out, just a little bit in, this there. And then you get there. And that's your unique opportunity where I think a small company working close to the riders to develop a product, or a big company that have engineers behind the drawing board creating something and throw it into the field and see how the reaction is. I'm working the other way around. I mean, I'm drawing something up, put it on the table, talking to the people, and take a look. Today, with 3D printing technology, we have the opportunity to change it into a fixed round circle, a flat circle, whatever we want, and show the people from behind. Do you think, well, we go in the corners, do we are we there or are we not there? And basically, doing that, we mainly drop every time something new on the plate that works.
At the World Cup, you know, top tier professional level, what percentage do you think of cyclocross guys are on Dugas?
Well, at the what I call the, if it's the top ladies or the top man or the top under 23, I think 80% is on Dugas.
That says something.
Yeah. None of them is sponsored.
Yeah, that's a pretty unique way of doing business, and it seems like it's paying off for you. It means you got a good product.
Well, I mean, the things what I do is, if riders do something beautiful for me, I throw them some tires on the plate. But I mean, I'm not the official sponsor, so that's why you never will see ads, Instagram things, Facebook things with riders back. The reason is I don't own the rights of the rider, so I don't do anything with them.
Well, it's like when Lars Baum was coming back, didn't he get tires from you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Cut that part out.
No, but I mean, I think the Lars Baum thing is one of those unique stories. Different journalist came to me, to my place, looked at it, and he said to me, well, Richard, beautiful World Cup jerseys all on the wall. And I said, yeah. And he said, who is it? And I said, well, it's nice, Igor, Brundal, Foss, bum, 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 bum. And we did go to the jersey. And we came to Boom. And he said to me, oh, it's a pity, sir, that this guy is not anymore competing in the races. And he said, maybe one day he's coming back. He said to me, you're talking about one day he's coming back? I said, yeah, I think maybe even this year he's coming back. He's sure, sir, he's coming back. And I said, I'm pretty sure he's coming back. Sure, sir. I say, if you keep something top secret, so 1st of November, he will announce thing is coming back. Well, that's something to keep. And I just said to him, I said, what do you mean, what's cool? Well, sir, 1st of November, sir, we're in Belgium, the Koppenberg race. So I'm now the only journalist that knows he's coming back, sir. I'm going to launch this thing in the press room, sir, that I know that he's coming back. So yeah, you can do that. Sir. But not before. And this thing, basically, 1st of November, he talked about it. Then some other guys dropped a phone call to his manager and said, from yeah, she really coming back. And there the thing really exploded. And wow. But I mean, you did see he was coming back and he was doing it with Worlds.
Yeah, even, and by the time he got to Worlds, he was starting to sort of find that form again.
And getting there. Yeah. And with the things coming up for him next season.
Yeah. Who in the younger riders, you know, U23 juniors, do you look at, do you think is going to be up there competing? You know, like a couple years ago, we had that whole influx, Vanderpool, Van Aert, all the kids going up. Anybody else you see?
You might have to say it this way. I call it always a wave. And people say, why, what do you mean by a wave? We're the old generation, Van der Poel, Groenendaal, Herreges, Friesknecht, Liebertong, all these old guys. Then we got a wave where we got nice, Wellens, Van Toornout, we got this wave.
Yeah.
Then we got again,
right,
a drop. Then we got a new wave coming up, Stibar, Simonek, and this wave coming up. We got a drop. Now we have the wave, Wout van Aert, Mathieu coming up. We will again have a drop. It will take again some years to get new heroes. Not that I don't believe in Easybeat and this people, but I think Easybeat gets world champion under 23. But we go back to what I call history and UCI rules, where it was not possible to move on to pro before you get your age. This would have mean that Wout and Mathieu would have ridden under 23. They would have ridden under 23. Easybeat would have competing for spot 4, 3 or 4, which would have created completely.
Swick would be there too.
Swick would be there. We would have complete different race. So, which means that these things happening into cyclocross, it's a different story. Now, with things going on in cyclocross, I think in 2 years we're going to see a complete different world. We're going to see mountain bike world coming up in cyclocross, getting DI2 in it, getting disc brake in it. It's not going to be anymore the dad that is going to play around with the bikes. It's going to be the team that's going to have a team set up with a team mechanic, with a truck, going to do the thing.
Do you think this is a good or bad thing? Or just the way it is?
It's a different story. I think it makes it more professional, but it's going to create a different world. By doing a different world, it's going to be a completely different setup.
Yeah, harder to get into as well, probably.
And I don't think it's keeping open as large as it is.
So, speaking of like a larger world and cyclocross, especially your tires in the United States, everybody wants them. When they get a pair of Dugas tires, what would be your like top tips for taking care of them?
Top tip is starting. One thing is basically I always struggle to produce enough. Means the tire that I produce should not be next week in the mug. Should be for 1.5 months on the shelf. To get all the chemical parts completely fulganized, rigid and rideable. You can ride them after 1 week, but it's not staying that long as it's supposed to be. Second thing is tip one, to glue them. If you take them out of the box, put it on a naked rim, stretch it for a night. To do the gluing, make sure there are at least 3 layers of glue on the rim, every time with 1 day rest. Glue the base tape, put the next layer of glue on the rim, and inside 15 minutes, put it on. I can present you a nice videotape if you want it.
Yep.
How to glue a tire in different caps, and you can put it on your website.
Perfect. Yeah, that'd be great. So what do you think about the glue and tape method?
No, doesn't work. The reason is the tape stays sticky, and the low tire pressures you run in cyclocross with the wet conditions, it's never going to work. So you need to work with glue. And if it's the Conti, or it's the Hutchinson, or it's the Swalbe, or it's the Victoria, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It needs to be glue.
So we're at the Lanzarote World Cup. You're in the Scott Adlo tent. What are you doing here? What's the mission for this weekend or even the season in mountain biking?
Well, man, with the Scott Adlo team, we're riding a lot of tubular tires, so that's one thing what I take care about. The rest I take care about the technical parts of the bikes. Due to passion of mechanic.
Yeah, so you own a company doing tires that you still got to get in the pits and work on bikes?
Yeah. And this thing together makes what I think the ultimate formula, where you get an all-rounder, where you know, okay, you see what competition is doing, you see what everybody is doing, and you think, probably want to move a little bit more left, or we want to go a little bit more right, or we want to go a little bit straight. And
with the way the World Cup mountain bike scene, or even just XC mountain biking in general, with the shorter races now, it seems like it's getting faster. It's almost like the cyclocross and mountain bike worlds, at least how the race looks, are coming closer together.
I think in the mountain bike scene, we're today seeing a few things. This race is getting more interesting for media. The reason is we're not anymore at three-lap things.
Yeah, we can actually see the race when we're covering it.
Yeah, I mean, we're not anymore at the three-lap story when Bart Branches were riding, Thomas Frisknecht were riding. We made three laps and that was it. We're now getting into 7-8 laps. We're getting much more fun for public and spectators and media to cover it. Second thing is rock gardens getting tougher and tougher, getting close to downhill. There we see that suspension technology is getting more and more popular. I mean, we did see a wave 10 years ago, people were riding full suspension, then we did go back to hardtail, and we're now coming back more and more to full suspension. So we're seeing a different story there. We're coming from a 22, 23 mil rim and getting to 27, 28 mil larger rim. We're coming from a 1.9 tire, 2.1 to a 2.2, 2.25, 2.35. And there we basically come back to some of these issues. Is a lot of people say, yeah, what do I do with tires and all these things? And I always say, tires is one thing, but the wheel underneath is the other thing. Basically, you should never run a tire that is larger as two times the rim. So if you run a 28 mil rim, you should go for a 55 mil tire minimum. You can go up to 60, but it's somewhere between 55 and 60. If you go to a 30 mil rim, you can go to the 2.35s and you can go to the 60 to 65. But your balloon should be there to work. And people thinking that a 2.1 tire can go to a 30 mil rim, you're going to see a lot of flat tires, you're going to see a lot of tires that you press down on rims, that it's not going to work. So things need to adapt, and you see iterations. I mean, we did go from quick release to true axles and all these things. We did go from cantilever to disc brake. I mean, a lot of technology going on.
Pretty much dropper post.
Dropper post is there in 2 years.
Yeah.
Rock garden getting more and more nasty. Your dropper post is coming.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Okay, no problem.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for listening to Crosshairs Radio. That was cool stuff, wasn't it? It's good to talk to Richard. Hope to catch up with him again in the future. Once again, remember, bonus content available soon on wideanglepodium.com. Go become a member over there. Help support the cause. Also, if you want to help support what I do at cxairs.com, go to cyclocrossbook.com. If you haven't already, take a look at our cyclocross book, Skills, Drills, and Belly Aches, a cyclocross primer. Have about 70 copies left in stock right now and would love to see those move off the shelf. They make a great gift. So if you already have it, buy one for a friend, but not a rival. Don't do that. You need the advantage for you. Yeah, also follow me at CXHairs on Twitter, on Instagram, and we'll talk to you soon. Cross, it's coming. That's the word on the street.